Hey, this is Lori McCrum. I'm the executive pastor here at Fairhaven Church. Thanks for tuning in and welcome to our weekly podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan. Our mission is to help people find their way back to God, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith journey.
Good morning. My name is Ashley. I'm on staff here at Fairhaven. And I have to tell you guys this morning, I've been at middle school camp for the last week. And my favorite part was right when worship started, all these middle schoolers rushed the stage. And so I was waiting for you guys this morning to just get right up here and start worshiping. So maybe later. But it was so fun to watch middle schoolers just so excited to worship God. This morning, we are going to be continuing our series called Finding Our Way Back to God. I keep wanting to say our mission statement, helping people find their way back to God. Basically the same thing. But last week, Greg got to talk to us about a story in the book of Luke. And we are actually going to go back to that same story this morning. So if you want to follow along, we'll be there in just a little bit. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 this morning. We're going to be in the story of the prodigal son. Before we get there, I'm just wondering if any of you have ever been in a situation where you needed some help. Now, for me, I remember a time in high school where I had just got my license, and I was so excited because I bought a $500 Trailblazer. Now, if that tells you anything about what this Trailblazer looked like, I wish I had a picture of it, but I got this Trailblazer, and I was so excited. Now, we lived on a dirt road, and me and my brother, he's about a year and a half younger than me, we were going to stop at Tim Hortons on our way to school. Now, that's, like, really cool where I'm from, okay? There wasn't Starbucks or Big B, but if you showed up to school at Tim Hortons, like, you knew what was up. And so we are going to go to Tim Hortons, and we get in the car. I'm driving on the dirt road, and I lose my wallet. And I'm trying to figure out what happened to it. And I spot it on the floor next to my right foot. Now, if you're a driver in here, especially a new driver, if you drop something, just let it be. But no, I decided I needed that wallet right now. And so I picked it up. And as I went to pick it up, my steering wheel veered to the right. And I hit a mailbox. My rear view mirror smashed off onto my brother's passenger side window. So not a ton of damage, but my mirror is just hanging there. And I see my brother look at me, not scared. It was scary for me. He was just so excited that he now had something over my head for the rest of our lives. And so I'm like, oh no, like I need help. What am I gonna do? I just got this awesome new car. And so when I got to school that morning, I went to my favorite teacher, Mr. Logan, and I said, hey, like, I just need some help. This happened to my car. And he was like, no worries. So he went to AutoZone during our lunch break. He reattached my mirror, and I was super grateful. So I got to go home and tell my parents, like, I was in a car accident, but, like, no biggie. Like, everything's all good. And so maybe you've been in a situation like that where you need a little bit of help. I have a daughter, her name's Eliza. She is a year and a half. She is awesome. There she is with her awesome bedhead. The other day, I'm sitting in the living room, and she just likes to, like, sit in her bucket of toys. I don't know. It's a weird thing that she does. And I see her in the bucket, and I'm like, what are we doing here, girl? Like, this is kind of weird. And I notice she can't get out. Like, she got in, and she's trying to look at me and play it cool, like, yeah, Mom, I love it in here. But in reality, like, she can't get out of the bucket. And so I'm waiting for her to look at me and ask me for help or, you know, whine or cry or something. And my daughter, something you got to know about her is she's a little stubborn. And so she got herself up. She got herself out of the bucket. And this morning, I just wonder, are some of us sitting in a bucket? Do we need a little help? And so our series this morning is titled Awakening to Help. Maybe you've been in a situation where you just feel like you can't take it anymore, that you just need someone or something. takes us a long time to outgrow this stubbornness, doesn't it? To get out of the bucket, or today, out of the pig pen, we're going to see the lost son. We're going to watch him make a decision. But we get comfortable, we get complacent, maybe we even get discouraged. What keeps us from moving? And when we realize we need help, we find a new direction. And so this morning, I want to see what that new direction could possibly be. What I've noticed over the years, whether in my own life or people that I've had the privilege to walk alongside, is at some moment, we come to our senses. We realize that we don't have to live this way. We just are. We don't have to live this way. We just are. Why is our marriage this way? Why have we become like roommates? Why don't we have communication? Why do we lack intimacy? It doesn't have to be this way. It just is. Why do I hold all of my anxiety and my fear and my shame so close to my chest? I've become so good at hiding it and living with it. Why do we live this way? We don't have to. We just do. Maybe you're a teenager in this room, or a young person, and you find yourself having to fit in or feeling that need to fit in. You have to wear a certain thing. You have to post a certain thing. You have to operate a certain way. And you feel like you're not really living in a way that you feel like God has called you to live, or that you feel comfortable living. You don't have to live this way. You just are. So our story this morning, Luke chapter 15, verse 15. This is talking about the son. It says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. The lost son, he comes to his senses. He wakes up. He realizes, I have nobody. I have nothing. I'm starving. And at a minimum, I know that my father loves me and would treat me as one of his hired servants. He has a decision to make. When the prodigal son came to his senses, we learned last week about the biblical word for this, which is repentance. Now, repentance does not just mean turning around, but it actually means going back to where we belong. You see, after the son came to his senses, it says he got up and went to his father. Now, this morning, I wonder, as the son is in between the two, as he came to his senses and decides to get up, what is going through his mind? Because I have to imagine that he's wondering, what is going to happen when I get there? Because remember, the son, he went to his father and he basically said, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. And he went to a distant country and he squandered all of his money on wild living. His dad didn't kick him out. He didn't tell him to go away. The son decided that there was something better. He makes this scenario in his head, and this is what he decides. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And this is what happens when we find ourselves in our pigsty. We start to play with the idea of what is going to happen next. And what I've come to think of is that there's three misconceptions that we have about the God that is going to welcome us back home. The first is we believe that God is an inspecting God. We believe that God is picking our life apart, and he's looking for all the things that we have done wrong and the ways that we have failed and the ways that we haven't lived up to the expectations that he has for us. We believe he's a God who has a magnifying glass, and he's looking at our lives just waiting to see what's wrong. And so what it may look like when we decide we want to come home is we feel like we have to clean ourselves up first. This may look like, God, I quit lying. I'm living on the straight and narrow. God, I stopped dating those people that were so bad for me and so toxic. I got rid of the friends that I felt like were bringing me down. I'm not doing that anymore. And it's so hard to get out of the pig pen because we feel like we have to pass some sort of inspection test. The second misconception that we have about God is that he's a disappointed God. And so when we come to this moment in our lives where we feel like we need to make a decision, we need help, something has to change, what we picture is a God who has his arms crossed, shaking his head at us, disappointed, angry at the way that we've lived our lives. And if we're honest this morning, we've probably all been in a place where we felt this way, that we just can't get our lives together. And so what happens when we view God as a disappointed God is we almost feel like we need to earn his love. We feel like we need to earn our salvation. And so it starts to look like this. It starts to look like obligation. I know I lived this way, but now I'm going to serve every single week, and I'm going to show up, and I'm not even going to have to look at the screens to know the words when we sing. I'm just going to know them, and I'm going to memorize scripture, and hear me on this. Those things are great. But if we're doing them out of a place of fear, we're not understanding who God truly is. If we're viewing God as a disappointed God, we're misunderstanding who the God of the universe is for you and for me. The third is a distant God. We start to appease God because we view him as this almighty thing or this being or something that's out there. We haven't really experienced it for ourselves. We hear other people talk about it. We could see the possibility of there being a God. And so what we do is we start to try to live our life in such a way that we put on a show. And if we're honest, sometimes church is the place we do that the most. And I want to tell you this morning, whether this is your first time or your 100th time here, you're with me today, and we can just be, okay? Because I can't be a person that puts on a facade. I have many times in my life. But you're with me today. You're with God today. And so you can just relax and just be, because he's not a distant God. He's a loving God who will welcome you home. I said this week that I was at a middle school camp out at Hope College. And I had the opportunity to hang out with some really cool middle schoolers. And if you haven't hung out with middle schoolers in a while, they ask like a zillion questions every 10 minutes. They want to know everything that's going on, when it's happening, why we're doing it. And so sometimes it's like a lot, right? You're like, guys, just like follow me around. It's going to be okay. I promise. There's a lot of questions. But if you pay attention, they start to ask some really good questions. Because they're really wondering, like, who am I, and how do I function in this world, and who is this God that we're talking about? And so I had a young girl who was asking me some really good questions this week. Such a good question that I was like, I need to sleep on this. But one of the nights, this was a moment that they created for our students. And so if you see on this picture, I know it's not super clear, but all four of those things are a cave. All right, and we were talking about being in the valley. And so one of those caves stood for anxiety. And the speaker that night, he invited students to walk through whatever cave they were experiencing the most and what was something they needed to leave behind. The cave for anxiety for those middle schoolers was wrapped around the building. So many middle schoolers were experiencing such a high level of anxiety. And so this girl, she asked me, she's like, I believe in this God thing, but I just have some questions. I just want to know, like, what do I do? And isn't that all of us? Don't we just want to know what to do? And so I slept on it in my nice hot dorm room. And the next morning, I got to get coffee with this sweet little 11-year-old girl. And I want to simply just say to you this morning, these are three things I think we can do to move out of the pig pen, just like we're going to watch the prodigal son do this morning. The first is we have to trust the character of God. It's fascinating to me that the lost son, as he starts to play with this scenario in his head of what am I going to go back to, at the minimum, he believes that his father will treat him like one of his servants. There's not a scenario, at least recorded, where he thinks that his dad is going to slam the door in his face. There's not a scenario where he feels like his father is going to make him stay in his pig pen and say, I told you not to do this. At the minimum, he believes the heart of his father. And I really believe that one of the hardest things for us to learn and to trust about God is his character. And this is why, because we start to make up scenarios in our own head of what it would look like to go home. And if we're honest, we start to input characteristics of God that are not true of him. Maybe it's something we've experienced of God through the world. Maybe it's our idea that God is a disappointed God, a distant God, an inspecting God. And so we start to put these characteristics on God that aren't true. We distrust our invention of his character. We distrust who we say that God is. Instead of trusting the character that he tells us he has. Instead of giving ourselves out of the pigsty and saying, you know what, God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to trust you for who you say you are, and I'm going to trust you for who I saw you to be through your son, Jesus. The first thing we have to do is we have to trust the character of God. The second thing we have to do is we have to move our feet. We have to make the decision to move forward in the story. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I feel like it's a hard question, but I feel like it's an honest one. It's one that I've had to ask myself a lot of times in my own life. How long have you been talking about getting out of your pig pen? Because the reality is we all have different ones. How long have you been frustrated in the relational cycles that you find yourself in? How long have you found yourself battling anxiety alone? Maybe this morning you just need some help. How long have you waited to come home? Today I want to invite you to embrace the character of God. For the God that he says he is. And we're going to see exactly who he is in just a minute. Just like this little girl asked me, she asked me some very practical ways to see God in her life. And so when we decide to move our feet, something that you'll hear us say around here a lot is we need to take a next step. Our faith cannot be stagnant. We always have to be moving towards something. And so some really easy things. One, show up to church. It's an easy one. Make it a priority in your life. The second is get into the Word of God. Look at it for yourself. It's interesting to me that we can look at this same passage and take so many good, practical things out of it, because God tells us that his word is living and it's active. The third, join a small group. Get with people that you can do life with, that you can go together with. Maybe you need to join a serve team. Maybe one of the ways you need help is you love to help others. We get stuck spinning in these cycles. And I'm not saying that all of those steps are a cure-all or a silver bullet that's going to fix everything. But I will say, and what this son understood, is that he had to head toward his father. Now, the last, I cleaned it up a little bit. I changed it to come as you are, but because I was with middle schoolers, I wanted to call it own your odor. Love them. Love them. They're still learning, like, the whole deodorant thing, but they're awesome. And so in this story, I love that in between the decision of the son deciding that he's going to go home, it's not like it says, you know, he went and got a new outfit, and he got a new haircut, he got all cleaned up. Maybe he jumped in a river somewhere, I don't know. But what I do know is that he came to his father broken. He came to his father without everything put together. And for us, that might look like coming home with your marriage a little bit messy. That might look like coming home with an addiction that you're still fighting. That might look like coming home with those thoughts that you just can't seem to control. You just continue to overthink about things in your life. What we're going to see is that God doesn't need us to be cleaned up. He wants us to come as we are. And that's why I truly am convinced that it's the hardest thing to understand in all of Scripture. It's not what God is against, because we can disagree on that or talk about that all day long. We watch our culture do it all the time. What I think the hardest thing to understand in Scripture is what God says about us who are broken. Because what God tells us is that he loves us, is that he's eager to restore our lives, that his grace is free for us. We don't have to do anything to earn it. That his mercy is free. We don't deserve it. That his acceptance for us is whole. We don't have to qualify for it. Because Jesus died for each and every one of you and me. And God already decided the path of forgiveness. And so the son goes home. The next part of the story. It says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I want to stop there. It's my favorite line. He wasn't filled with bitterness. He wasn't filled with anger. He was filled with compassion for him. How many of us just need a little compassion this morning? He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, this was really taboo in this culture because important people didn't run, and that's why I don't run, because I'm really important. I'm just kidding. I was really looking forward to saying that one, so thanks for laughing. But yeah, so if you see me running, it's a problem. You should run too. But it was taboo in that day for someone of that importance to run, and it was certainly taboo for him to accept his son back into his home, especially dirty and unclean. I want to show you guys a clip in just a second, about a Olympic runner. His name is Derek Redmond. Maybe you've heard of him. He ran in the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. Now, before this Olympics, he had went through five very hard operations on his body. He actually had one just 4 months before the Olympics on his Achilles. But when he got to Barcelona, everything was looking good. In his quarterfinal heat, he actually won. And so he starts the semifinal race. And when the gun goes off, he starts to run. And about 150 meters into the race, his right hamstring muscle tore. And you find him fall to his knees. And then he gets up and starts to hobble towards the finish line. Let's watch what happened. So if you haven't guessed, this guy is Derek's father. And what I love is it's such a perfect picture of how God chases after us. God runs to us and is patiently waiting for us. I love that he starts to shoo people away, like, I got him. Like, just let me have him. And what I love about the prodigal son story is that we don't just learn about God from the father in the story. And we also learn about God through the storyteller. Jesus is the person that's telling this story. And the most important step in our awakening to help part of the series is recognizing that help has a name, and that it's Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this, "The only way that Hamlet could discover anything about Shakespeare would be if Shakespeare wrote himself into the play." And so I love that God writes himself into our story through the man of Jesus. So who does God tell us that he is? A God who is present, promising to never leave us on our own. A God who is full of grace, refusing to condemn us even when it's deserved. A God who is humble, bending down to care for our needs. A God who is for us, sacrificing himself when we were helpless to save ourselves. Help has a name, and it's Jesus. I want to share one more verse with us this morning. It's in the book of Matthew. It says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, up until this summer, when I was at camp, I honestly did not know what a yoke was. I knew it wasn't an egg, but I really did not know what we were talking about here until I saw this picture. And when I saw this picture, I had goosebumps because I realized who God is. He's a God that walks with us. He's a God that is step by step. In every situation, in every pig pen, in every place that we find ourselves in, he wants to walk with you. And so in just a minute, I'm going to do something that we haven't done around here super often. And if it's your first time here or you haven't been here very much or maybe you're just not used to church, that's okay. This is going to feel weird to everyone. That's why I love it. We are going to have some people that are going to be stationed up here to pray. And I want to encourage you this morning, I want to show you a picture of our middle schoolers. This is in an arena of about 1,000 teenagers. And this is a good chunk of our group who decided to stand, that maybe they'd already made a decision to follow Jesus, but that something has distracted them, it's got in their way, that they needed to let go of something or they needed to receive something. And they stood, and I was so proud, they stood so boldly. And what I want us to understand about the church is that if we can't do this kind of thing here, then where can we do it? Because some of us, we show up and we think we have to have it all together, and I'm telling you this morning that you don't. That God just wants you to come home. And so if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus before, I want to invite you to the front. The lights are going to go really dim. No one's going to even know it's you. It's going to be okay. But we're going to have some people up here ready to pray for you. You can tell them part of your story. You don't have to tell them anything. We just want to be an encouragement to you this morning. maybe like Lori said, you're going to make a decision to get baptized, and you want to talk about that. Maybe you've made this decision before, but you found yourself again in a pigsty. And this morning, you need to receive something from God. And I'm talking to you if you're 10 or 100. Because I know that there's not enough space up here for all of us. But there's something that God could be giving all of us. God is waiting for you to come home.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you were able to catch a glimpse of the Jesus seen in the scriptures and to now apply it to become more like him and help others do the same. For service times or for more information about taking a next step, please visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.